This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Mark, do you have to be a homer on the radio?
Well, Brian, you have no idea.
Well, hold on a second.
On 95.7 The Game.
No, I don't have to be. I just choose to be.
Yep.
All right? So deal with it. TJ Houshmandzadeh in a half hour. You and I don't think are going to see eye to eye on this one, Dibbers. I don't think we are. You may not like the take. I don't love the take. But where we go with it may be a different space. Check this out. TJ Houshmandzadeh is going to join us here in a little bit. Okay, former NFL receiver, you all know TJ. He comes on the show quite a bit. He's Brandon Ayuk's personal coach through the years. They're boys. And so it's always interesting to kind of get his thoughts, what's going on inside the building. Well, this is on Speak for Yourself on FS1. Today, Purdy and the contract comes up. And listen to what TJ has to say about this.
I believe they did overpay for Brock Purdy. I would have given Brock Purdy $47 million a year. That would have been the most I'm giving him. We needed you last year. You went 1-6 against playoff teams when we had guys hurt. Christian McCaffrey was out. Trent Williams was out. Ayuk got hurt, and you couldn't really get it done. I think Brock Purdy is a hell of a quarterback, but I'm not giving you money when you show me when we need you to take over, you can't take over. We need you to carry us, you can't carry us. But at one point, they said Jalen Hurts was overpaid. Now, Jalen Hurts is underpaid. You know, win a Super Bowl with the Eagles. Now, you underpaid. And so, if Brock Purdy takes the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl and they win it, then his contract is well worth it. Until he does that, he's overpaid.
Okay, I got two questions. So, essentially, the takeaway is TJ says, either win the Super Bowl or you're overpaid. So, A, would love to get into a discussion about whether we agree or disagree with that statement. But before we even get there, can we just do a sidebar?
Sure.
Where the hell you get $47 million?
I liked it.
What the hell?
Gets 53, and TJ says I'd have given him 47.
47.
Okay.
What is that?
What's the big difference other than $6 million a year?
Totally, which, by the way, may or may not be wrapped into future payments or bonuses or whatever. Like, I've never understood where people come up with these numbers. You're going to literally be on national TV, be like 53. I'd do 47.
Yeah.
How about 47 and a half? Like, what the hell is the difference? Are you telling me that $6 million a year, you, like, okay, what's your point? That's a player? with that $6 million, I can go change the 49ers. Is that so? That's my sidebar. Where do y'all come up with these numbers? What does that mean to you? So that's going to be the first thing I ask TJ when he's on here in less than a half hour.
And also, if you want to look at 5 years and $265 million, if you add in this upcoming year, which is going to be a $9 million cap hit, he essentially is getting $47 million a year over the course of 6 years.
That's another good point.
So he really is getting $47 million a year. And also, he's not going to play through the entirety of this contract. He's either going to be not good enough. Well, there's no way.
Oh, you're talking about for this month.
He'll either be cut before the contract's over, or they will restructure it. Right. If he's not good enough, then you get cut and they eat the money. And if you are good enough, then you're going to restructure and keep him and take the money that you owe him and you put it into a bonus and you kick the can down the road. It's what the Niners always do.
I am debating whether or not to ask TJ. TJ, are there any other 49ers you feel are overpaid?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, I mean,
just asking questions.
He got hurt. So
I didn't say any names.
Well, you know, he knows, you know what you're doing, Mark.
I did not say. I wonder, are there any other 49ers you feel are overpaid?
Like who?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's an open-ended question.
Well, and when he comes back at you with who are you referring to?
I don't think he will do that.
And if he does, what will you do?
He'll laugh because he'll know exactly what the hell I'm insinuating. Yep. He'll know exactly what I'm insinuating. But anyway, here's the larger thing. Here's how I'd answer it. You know, like for me, I don't think you get to be that narrow with your thought process. In other words, it's only a good contract if you win the Super Bowl. I mean, so is Josh Allen on a bad deal?
Well, the deal's not up yet. We'll see. I mean, when you get to the end of the deal.
It's already been redone, but he was already making a ton of money.
Right.
He was already making a ton.
Well, you can look at it at the end of it, and you can make that decision.
Okay. Is Lamar Jackson on a bad deal? Is Joe Burrow on a bad deal?
He got you to the Super Bowl.
Yes, he did. So did Brock Purdy.
Right.
I mean.
That, to me, is where the bar is. It's not, you'd like to win the Super Bowl, but if you just get there, for me, that is where the bar is set.
I'm trying to think of, let's go around the league. It doesn't even have to be those elite guys. You know what I mean?
Well, you could go to Trevor Lawrence and Dak Prescott and Kyler Murray.
Okay.
Those are bad deals.
Jared Goff? Does he have to win the whole banana? I don't know if y'all know this because the Lions came here this year. Do you know? And so there were a lot of Lions fans because Niners had already been eliminated. The Lions fans just chant Jared Goff's name during the game. Nothing even needs to happen. He's just walk on the field, and they chant his name. Jared Goff. Jared Goff.
He's that guy, yeah.
The whole game. They just chant his name. So that's their bar. He didn't even been to the Super Bowl for the Lions.
Right.
Tua. Did the Miami Dolphins fans are like, dude, you better win the whole banane.
What's a bad deal? Like that, you look at it.
Is it?
It's a bad deal. See, yeah. I mean, they're not.
Well, we don't know.
He can't stay healthy and okay. They don't win.
And you can make that argument. I guess what I'm getting at, I think if you're going to pay a quarterback, what you can ask for is annual relevance, annual shots at a crown. I don't think that you should marry large contracts to winning the Super Bowl. Almost all of the quarterbacks in the NFL have not won a Super Bowl. Almost all of them. There are very, very few. And some of the
number is actually 34.
Right, but I'm talking 34
about... 34 humans have ever won the Super Bowl as quarterback.
In the league right now, what are there, five, and some of
it's
them...
It's more than that if you count Joe Flacco,
sure.
And if you count Aaron Rodgers.
But Aaron doesn't have a job right now.
Right.
And Russell is on very, very thin ground. Like, they're not franchise guys anymore.
Right.
Like, the Stafford is on his way out.
You got Stafford.
Out.
Well, he counts.
Yes.
Because he's got a couple more years of being
sure,
a guy.
Sure, but, no one's going to reboot him at north of $50 million.
Right.
He's getting old.
You got Stafford and Mahomes.
And you got Patrick.
Yep.
Patrick.
Yep.
Like, in terms of prime dudes who've done it, you have, one. Jalen Hurts now. Jalen Hurts. Okay, two. So that's what you got. So, like, that's all I'm saying. I'm not, like, of course, we're 49er fans. Of course the bar is winning a ring. That's the bar, even though they haven't done it in over 30 years. But if you're talking contractual, and by the way, how many players does this extend to? Do we only do it to quarterbacks?
Mainly, yeah.
That's it?
Well, that's how it works. You're the quarterback. Like,
understood, but there's a leader on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, Fred Warner, highest-paid linebacker in football.
So bad deal if they don't win?
He's held to a different standard.
Why?
Because he's not the quarterback, and that's just the way it works.
I guess, but I don't really see it as it should be that way. Like, this is not only about the quarterback. They are the most important. But I think that's really – that's what you're asking for. I am asking for my team, kind of, I guess, the Josh Allen model is what I would hope for. I don't think you can look at Josh Allen, even if he doesn't win the Super Bowl in the next 4 or 5 years, and be like, well, that was a bad contract. Dude, it's Josh Allen. He won the MVP. Lamar Jackson, I'm not going to say this deal sucked if you didn't win the Super Bowl. Like, you're Lamar Jackson. And I'm not saying, by the way, that Brock is those guys. I'm just talking about whether or not you feel good about the deal. To me, annual relevance. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I'm looking for more than that. I'm looking for a Super Bowl appearance. And if you get to the Super Bowl again and you don't win, I'm disappointed, but at least he'd be a quarterback who was able to be a part of getting his team back into the Super Bowl. Because what TJ said, put aside the $47 million part of it, but I do think that there's some merit to that, where you got to be a guy when you're making that much money, that much of the salary cap, you've got to be able to elevate those around him. And now that Brock Purdy is going to be in that neighborhood making that kind of money, his responsibility is greater to be a player who can make lesser players around him better.
Interesting, though, because I also think, like, you know, and I know we do this, we've done it with Jalen Hurts, but like when the Eagles won the Super Bowl in February, I didn't walk out of there and go, damn, Jalen Hurts did that. And I would argue nobody did. I remember
when the MVP, right, of the game?
Maybe. I don't even remember.
Yeah,
I don't even remember. But we also know that the quarterback wins the MVP. I remember what everyone was talking about coming out of the game, and it was their pass rush. That's what everyone was talking about coming out of the game. I didn't walk away from that game being like, damn, dude, Jalen Hurts went and won the Super Bowl. And I get it. I understand how we sort of view this, but that's why I would change it from winning the Super Bowl to annual relevance, because if you're relevant every year, then your quarterback is playing really well. And then a few other things are probably what's going to or not going to push you over the top to win the Super Bowl. You know, this is a guy who's already gone to overtime of the Super Bowl, and there are many who would argue, and I know there are 1,000 plays in a game, but many would argue that if one offensive lineman had just gone the other way, the Niners might have won that game. And then we're talking about something completely different based on human beings that had nothing to do with that at all. So
maybe if his coach understood the overtime rules, they could have won the game.
You could argue that.
Yep.
Yeah, you could argue that. So, all right, we're going to go to the phones. But is that how you would sort of put a marker on whether this is a good deal or not for the Niners? Does they have to win the Super Bowl? Do they have to go to the Super Bowl? For me, it's just you have to be good every year. Like, you have to be a good football team. And you have to dance in that dance every year. And I'm willing to see the bigger picture that you're not always going to win it. You're not always going to win it. You know what I mean? Like, again, I'd look at the first. If they had paid him 50-some-odd million dollars so far for the first 3 years, how would you feel about it?
You'd feel pretty good.
See?
Yeah.
That's
because he went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And another NFC title game. Like, I'd feel good about that. I'd be like, that's good production for your money, even though there's no ring.
And even though last year was a disappointment. You'd
totally
feel less good about it after last year than you would prior to that.
That's
for sure.
That's fair. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. How about Trevor in Rohnert Park, who I think I'm going to talk to 2 days in a row. We're gonna do the thing tomorrow morning.
Nice.
We're gonna do it. Trevor, what's going on, man? Thanks for calling. Uh oh. I hope our connection tomorrow morning is better than this one. 3, 2, 1. Trevor, try again. What you got?
Yep. All right. You got me? Can you hear me now?
Now
yeah,
we got you.
I'm better, yep.
Yeah. All right. Now's better. I'll see you tomorrow morning for Turbo. Excited about
Got worse. Yeah. Pick up Trevor and see if he can drive somewhere down the street. We can talk to him a little bit more.
It's a good effort.
Yeah.
Real good effort.
Anyway, go ahead.
He was going to talk about offensive line woes or offensive line issues. And yeah, that's part of it where you can pay a quarterback $53 million a year. And if you don't have a good offensive line and you can't run the ball, well, you're probably going to be screwed unless you have Lamar Jackson, somebody who can really make plays and do it on his own. And you don't have that. So,
yeah, I mean, like text line just sends in. What do you think of this? 925. Dude. So first of all, I get it. You're mad. Dude, if you make more money, you have more responsibility. That's kind of how life works for most people. At what point did any of us skirt responsibility for Brock Purdy? I don't think anyone did that. I know I didn't do that. I said the bar for the 49ers is always they're going to be measured by Super Bowls. That's not, I don't care what the hell the quarterback is making. And oh, by the way, I didn't say, yeah, he doesn't need to do anything. They need to be good every single year. They need to be good. But to literally mark a 50-some-odd million-dollar contract and say it only works if they win a ring. So in other words, if 5 years from now the 49ers have gone to 4 NFC title games and 2 Super Bowls, but they didn't win a ring, you're going to come to me and be like, boy, they screwed that contract up. Shouldn't have kept him.
No, not at all.
No, you're not going to say that. That's what I'm getting at.
If they win one Super Bowl and don't make the playoffs in any of the other 5 years, I would still look at that and say it was a successful contract. If they, let's say this year, they go out and they win the Super Bowl, and then for the next 5 years, he isn't very good. They aren't very good, and they struggle, and they fall on their face. For me, it still is a successful contract because you would have gotten there and gotten it done, even though you wouldn't have the consistent, sustained success is what you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. I just like that. To me, again, and I know maybe it's splitting hairs or whatnot, but the bottom line for me is that you're like, I don't think there's a comp for this concept that TJ's putting out there. There's not a comp for that around the league. Nobody else is looking at their star quarterback who's making a lot of money and the team is good most years, if not all, winning divisions, making playoff appearances, and saying, yeah, I don't like this. We made a mistake. Lions fans are not saying
The Cowboys are. Cowboys fans, and they're consistently good. I mean, they're consistently a good team. They make the playoffs most years, and then they fizzle out. And he's making huge money.
Okay.
The biggest money.
Right, right. So that's part of it. Like, he's making the most money. Brock's not.
No, but he's up there in that league.
Right. Okay, so let's go through all of those other people that are north of $50 million. I don't even know if there are Jags fans, but they don't even ask the team to be good. And I don't hear a drumbeat around Trevor Lawrence. Tua is making up there. I don't really see a whole lot going on there. I already mentioned about Jared Goff. Who else is up north of $50 million? Buffalo loves Josh Allen. The Charger fans love Justin Herbert. He's north of $50 million.
Well, they actually made the playoffs this past year, was kind of a nice change.
Right, right. But has he ever won a playoff game?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he's still 0-2, I think, in the playoffs. And then, you know, there's Burrow, there's Lamar. Nobody in these fan bases is like, eesh, boy, we got the wrong guy. We did the wrong thing by paying that player.
I think the Jaguars are, like you said, if there is a fan base. And the Cowboys, all you have to do is ask Guru what he thinks about Dak Prescott. And I think that the Cowboys look at that and think, that was a mistake. Kyler Murray's not quite making 50, I don't think, but that's another franchise that,
like 46, 47,
right,
I think.
That is a bad contract. That one was also a mistake. So, and again, these are organizations that are mostly broken. If you talk about Arizona and Jacksonville, those are franchises that are poorly run.
Well, right, but I wouldn't say that in general based on all the other names we just threw out there. Again, like, I wonder how many people look at it this way. Dude, it's kind of an opportunity to want to pay your quarterback that much money.
Absolutely.
Like, do you know how many franchises would freaking love to be able to even think about having a quarterback that somebody wants to give $50 million to? Like, the Bears pray that in 2 years they want to give Caleb Williams $60 million. They're praying for that. But most organizations are just bouncing around, like, not really having the guy. And some of them sign people, and they know damn well that's not the guy. Like, the Raiders are not under the impression that in a couple of years, Geno Smith's going to be worth $58 a year. They're just like, I don't know, let's just hang out for another year or two and see if we can win some games and something cool will happen. I don't know. It's kind of what the Seahawks did in bringing in Sam Darnold, who goes to the playoffs, and the Vikings let him walk out the door. I mean, look through the lens from a different angle. Dude, like, this is a great opportunity when a team has a QB that has earned that and that they want to give that money to. And it's not preventative of other players.
No, especially as the cap continues to go up. We had David Lombardi on last week, and he was talking about that very part of it where the cap continues to go up and up, and all these international games and all the revenue that keeps coming into the league. So even though you're paying $53 million average annual value for Brock Purdy, by the time you get 3 and 4 years into the deal, it's going to be a smaller percentage of the overall cap because the cap's going to continue to grow.
888-957-9570. Let's keep going on the phone. Let's go to David in Concord. Hi, David. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Hope you're doing great. I want to get into Brock Purdy's contract a little bit. Over the weekend, Dieter Kurtenbach of the Bay Area News Group wrote a good piece breaking down the contract, but I want to hear it from you guys if you understand it. Why is this such a team-friendly contract?
I mean, we can answer that. First of all, that's an opinion. So I do feel, I don't know if I would call it such a team-friendly contract, but here's what I would say. First of all, as Dibbs already pointed out, when you average this out over the life of the deal, because of this year, the extension actually doesn't fully kick in, you're actually getting Brock Purdy at less than $50 million per season. Secondarily, you've already watched the 49ers still completely be able to maneuver for other players. Kittle gets an extension. Warner gets an extension. And the 49ers, as they stand currently, this is a moving target, but as they stand currently for this season, are, I think, second in the entire NFL in terms of money under the cap, which means two things. A, they have maneuverability to get more players this year if they need. And B, that money rolls over into future years if they don't use it. So they still have a ton of flexibility. And the last way I'd answer it is very simple. Brock Purdy took money that's less than some players he's better than. And not everybody does that. Some players won't do that. Josh Allen did it this year. Brock Purdy did it this year. He absolutely could have looked at the Niners and said, I'm not taking less than Trevor Lawrence. Why would I do that? But he did.
Yep.
So that's team friendly.
Well, and the real biggest piece of it being team friendly to me is the fact that a lot of the money guaranteed is in the first 3 years. So you get 3 years in, and that will give the Niners the flexibility that they want in the later years of the contract, because you pay out the majority of the guarantees up front. The signing bonus is $40 million, and that's spread out over 5 years. But beyond that, after you get 3 years into the deal with most of the guaranteed money already being paid, the Niners will have two choices. Either continue to ride this contract, which will be going up and up and up, or you rip the contract up, you give them a new contract with new guaranteed money, and you keep kicking that can down the road. But having a lot of money up front for the first 3 years gives them the flexibility to make the decision they want to make down the road.
Yep, and I will continue. I know people have a hard time with this. I'll continue to give Brock Purdy credit for this. I know people are like, this is not a selfless act. He's making $53 million a year. Yes, that's very true. Simple fact is, he played it in a way that not everybody would have played it. If they did truly, according to reports, ask for $65 million a year to start these negotiations, the Niners were like, we're not doing that, and they whittled it all the way down. And if this is as far as the Niners would go, at least right now, in the month of May, Brock Purdy and his agent absolutely could have said, well, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. And then this gets drawn out, and it becomes dramatic, and it becomes divisive, and all the things that Brandon Ayuk and Nick Bosa and everybody else over the last few off seasons has allowed this to be. And so now you get a kumbaya off season, which I think the 49ers sorely, sorely needed.
Definitely. And not only kumbaya, but they're down there today, and you've got everybody out there for phase three of the OTAs, and so you don't have to worry about all the distractions and all the off-field crap, if I may. I know kids are probably in their car coming home from school. I apologize for the harsh language, but that's what you had to deal with the last couple of years. This year, you don't have it. You just had to make sure that George Kittle came back from bottle rock in one piece.
And I'm told that he did.
Yep.
TJ Houshmandzadeh earlier today said, the Purdy deal is an overpay unless they win the whole banana. TJ will join us to talk that out a little further coming up next. We're sponsored by Safeway, and this is Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
So what was on the menu? Seven steaks? Two whole chickens?
I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
That's Cheryl Bosa and Nick Bosa. Did you hear the news about Joey Bosa?
He got hurt, I think, right?
He's already hurt.
How bad?
Bad enough that they're holding him out all the way till training camp.
Yeah.
You're going to miss the summer. It's a full pulled hammy, I think. You know, and that was the thing. That was the worry when it came to Joey Bosa. I know the 49ers were a hot conversation with regard to Joey Bosa this offseason. Speaking of hot conversation, that's what our next guest does.
I love this guest.
It's why we bring him on, because we love him, and he'll say the damn thing. And he did today on Speak on FS1, essentially saying the Niners overpaid Brock Purdy unless he wins the whole thing. So joining us now, River Island's guest line, none other than TJ Houshmandzadeh. TJ, what's going on, man? How are you?
Man, I'm good. How y'all doing?
We're doing just fine, man. Now, I would love to hear you expand on this a little bit, because obviously there are a bunch of quarterbacks around the league who have major contracts and their teams are not worried about that contract at all, and they have not even been to a Super Bowl like a Josh Allen, like a Lamar Jackson. So why does Brock Purdy have to win the whole banana to basically justify this deal?
So let me say this.
Okay.
I actually think Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. If you go back 2 years ago, I believe I was the first one saying Brock Purdy is a top 12, 15 quarterback. I was the first one on television saying that. Nobody else was saying that. Once I started saying it, people started to follow suit. Go look it up. Pull up the receipts. But when you look at the 49ers, Josh Allen is not playing with a Trent Williams, a George Kittle, a Ayuk, a Debo, a Christian McCaffrey, a Fred Warner, a Bosa, a Hufanga. When has Josh Allen ever had that? When has Lamar Jackson ever had that? These Pro Bowlers and all pros, everybody that I just named. And so last year, those guys were hurt. Not all of them, but some of them, the majority of them. 1-6 against playoff teams. But when those guys are playing well, Brock Purdy is playing well. And so is Brock Purdy the reason, or is everybody else the reason? And last year kind of showed me against the playoff teams, he wasn't able to get it done. And I still think he's a good quarterback. I'm just not giving him what they gave him. I'm happy for him. Generational wealth for all the Purdies from years to come, unless somebody messes it up. But I'm not giving him that contract.
You mentioned on TV today that you'd give him $47 million a year, but not 53. How did you discover 47 as the number? And, you know, what really is the difference between, I know $6 million is the difference. I'm kind of a math guy, but what's the difference in your mind over 53 a year versus 47?
I just think this is what happens. When you, everybody on the team feels like their role is important, especially when you're a really good player. When you start giving players a contract that the other guys in the locker room, and it's meaning your good players, feel they don't deserve, they'll never say anything, but that can become a problem because For Trent, he had to hold out for his. Bosa had to hold out for his. Ayuk had to hold out for his. And then Purdy didn't have to hold out. You just gave it to him. And probably more than you needed to. And so 47, it was just something where I looked at the quarterback. Jalen Hurts was underpaid. I mean, overpaid at one point. He's underpaid now. And so when Jalen Hurts signed his contract, a lot of people was like, what? They overpaid for him. Had just gone to the Super Bowl. They lost. Now he's won a Super Bowl. I believe he's underpaid. I just feel like this year is going to be so much pressure on Brock Purdy. One, because of the contract. Two, Debo will no longer be there, obviously. Ayuk is coming off an injury. Hufanga isn't there. Greenlaw isn't there. Will Kittle, McCaffrey, Trent Williams, how many games will they miss, you know, amongst those three? Because those are three best offensive players on the football team, at least in my opinion. McCaffrey, Kittle, and Trent Williams are the three best offensive football players on that team. If they've missed time, can Brock Purdy get it done? He showed me last year he couldn't.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, speak for yourself on FS1, and obviously a former receiving great himself joining us here on Willard and Dibbs. TJ, does this only apply in your mind to quarterbacks? You know, because you mentioned it can become a problem in the locker room if someone is making a contract number that they don't deserve. And you, like, I'm not coming out of left field with this. You know, there are a healthy number of people around this team right now who might feel that way about Brandon and the contract that he got.
100% it applies for everybody. This isn't just a quarterback thing. It's everybody on the team. If you are making more money than what you are producing, there's somewhat of a resentment, and nobody will ever say it. You ask them a question, and they're going to be politically correct. And then when you talk so much to each other, boy, can you believe Buddy making all this money and he ain't doing bleep, bleep, bleep? You talk about that amongst yourself. And we would say it to the player, like, boy, you robbing him. You robbing a bank without a mask. Well, you stealing money. Like, we would say that to the guy in the locker room just and laugh about it. And so, again, I hate when this comes up because it makes it seem as if I don't think Brock Purdy can play. I do. I just feel like you overpaid when you didn't have to, or at least when you shouldn't have. Because I could have sworn they said early in the offseason, did they not? They're going to go about a different way of how they do contracts. San Francisco 49ers said that. Did they mean they're not going to force guys to hold out? Or what did that mean? Didn't they say that, though, Jed York and John Lynch?
I mean, I don't know if they said it necessarily in those words. Jed York did say last year that they knew Brock Purdy was going to ask for something that no one's ever gotten before. Like, I'm interested that you've twice stated that you think that they didn't have to give this number. And I'm looking at a guy who took less than Trevor Lawrence and less than Tua. Like, do you honestly think they could have gone even lower?
Okay, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay.
Because a lot of people will say he's played better than Tua and Trevor Lawrence, and he has. But people got to understand, they got to realize, and don't act like what I'm about to say isn't the truth. Trevor Lawrence was the first pick of the draft. They're going to pay him. You just show you can play a little bit, they're going to pay you. Tua was a top 10 pick, all in the same boat. You just show you can play a little bit, they're going to pay you. Purdy was like me. We got to get it out the mud. We starting at the bottom, and we got to work our way to the top. Everything that you do is what I'm saying. Is it because of everybody else? He was the last pick of the draft. Man, his team around him is so good. That's why he's doing what he's doing. They signed those contracts, and they received those contracts because where they were drafted. Purdy is always going to be questioned. Purdy isn't an overachiever. He is not an overachiever. He's just playing better than anybody thought he would play, and he was misevaluated. That's all that. He was misevaluated, but those guys received those contracts because of where they were drafted. And if anybody in the NFL says that's not true, they're lying. How many first-rounders get second contracts or that the fifth-year option picked up, and you like, damn, buddy ain't been doing nothing. But, he was drafted in the first round for a reason. And so, again, I'm happy that Purdy got the money. But if I'm the general manager, I'm holding firm.
And part of that is also, you know, people who draft these players, they don't want to admit that they're wrong, right? And so you draft a guy, and even if he maybe isn't worth the contract that you're going to give him, you go ahead and pick up the fifth-year option and you give him that fresh money, because if you don't, that's a reflection on you, and then it comes across like you failed in the first place.
100%. The general manager, your first-round picks, your second-round picks, your third-round picks, when they are signed to second contracts, you're looked at as you're doing a hell of a job drafting and developing, identifying talent at the college level, get them into your program, and they're fitting exactly the way you thought they would fit. And so if you're in the personnel department, you're in the front office, you're the general manager, that makes you look good. And so that's why I believe those guys sign contracts. To me, it's much harder to find a Brock Purdy. It's much harder to find a Hufanga late in the draft, and they turn out to be really good players. So John Lynch is doing his job. Again, I was singing Purdy's praises before many people were. I just feel like you can field a better team when your quarterback is making a little less. Now, these quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, those guys are the standard. Am I missing one?
No, probably not.
Those guys are the standard. Then it's everybody else. It's those four. And then everybody else. And so what they make should never be brought to me in the conversation with what other guys make. Now, we know Dak Prescott is the highest paid quarterback in the league, but those four should be in the league of their own when it comes to pay, because their play has demonstrated that.
I don't think anyone disagrees with that, TJ, but you also know there's a timing mechanism to this, which is just like there's a recency to contracts, and guys tend to surpass one another. Like, you know, Josh Allen and Joe Burrow, I mean, they do make more than Brock Purdy.
But it's only the quarterback position where, oh, I'm next, so I got to be the highest paid. Only the quarterback position.
Well,
every other position.
I can make the case that your position has been a little bit like that, TJ.
What position?
Wide receiver.
Is that true?
Oh, I mean, don't you think?
Well, Justin Jefferson this year, right?
Don't you think guys like that position over
Justin
the last...
Justin Jefferson, when he signed his contract, was universal, one, the first or second best receiver in the league.
No doubt. But there is...
And Jamar Chase, when he signed his contract, was universal, first or second best in the league. What I'm saying is, when Ayuk signed his contract, why didn't he just go from where he went to number one? The quarterbacks, they always jump near the top. Regardless if you're one of the top quarterbacks or not, you jump near the top.
Well, but
if not the top.
Well, but that didn't happen with Brock. So I guess that I think that's actually kind of where you and I, at least, I won't speak for anyone else, but that's where we disagree, because I would be all with you if he had jumped Dak or if he had jumped Joe Burrow. But he didn't. He slotted in below those guys.
As he should. But yeah, what I'm saying is the 49ers have done such a great job of drafting guys. Are we certain that is not the guys around Purdy? Are we certain? Because last year, McCaffrey was out. Kittle missed some games. Trent Williams missed quite a few games. B.A. missed a lot of the season. did he play how he had played in previous years?
He did not play nearly as well, but you also know that if you really want to look at what happened to the Niners last year, dude, their defense was way worse than their offense. And that
of course their defense was worse because they have always had a top defense.
Right.
They've always been top 10. But
no, they were flat bad. TJ, I mean, if you go to the numbers,
they were bad. They were outside the top 20.
Yes, they were in a lot of the metrics.
So
yes, they were.
Defensively?
Yes. I mean, if you're looking at the overall, but if you look at their ability to, for instance, stop the run, they were. They were outside the top 20.
Overall, defensively, the Bengals were bad defensively.
Yes, they were.
That's a bad defense.
That's a bad defense. And they missed the playoffs as well.
And this is the thing, though. I'm such a believer in Robert Saleh. The Jets were dumb to fire him. I'll stand on that hill forever. The Niners are going to be better. He's just that good of a defensive coach. He's that good. They're going to be better defensively. They're not going to have the miscommunications and the big plays and people just running. He's going to stop the run, and they're going to be able to rush the passer. But I just feel like, again, if you're going to crack the top 10 in quarterback pay, you have to be one of those dudes. And, yeah, Trevor Lawrence hasn't done that yet. Yeah, Tua's had some flashes. It's just now staying healthy. But those guys, where they were drafted, it kind of helps them out in what they received on their second contract. I just would have – 47 would have been my max. If you make $47 million a year, you're still rich as hell.
More
yeah,
right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's true at 30, though, too, TJ.
Sure.
I mean, just, you know what I mean?
I mean, even 14.
Right, right. Like, and TJ, what about this? Because I don't want to split hairs, but your statement was it's an overpay unless he wins the whole thing. What if the next handful of years are just similar to what it's been, which is like constant, you know, contention toward the end? Would you still consider it bad if they just don't break through, but they're right there?
No, I would consider it bad. No. I would not consider it bad. I would just be like, should have gave him 47. But I like Shanahan as a coach. Like, I don't think – dude, Jimmy Garoppolo took the 49ers to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo did.
Yeah.
So it goes like Shanahan, a Shanahan coach team, they're going to be very creative. They're going to win games. Now you got your boy back with you running the defense. They're going to be better. And so you say, what's the difference in 47 and 53 of a three-year deal? That's $18, $20 million. That's another player that can really help us.
Yeah, theoretically.
That's another player. And that's all I'm saying is, sometimes you got to stick firm because you know if I can get him at this number, I can go get another starter with the money that we're saving. They didn't do that.
No.
And they'll be fine because Shanahan has shown he can draft and develop guys. Now, he got to get back to doing that because he's kind of hit a little rough patch lately. But draft, develop, and pay your guys. Losing Greenlaw is going to be a big deal, even though he had been hurt. But when he's on the field, that defense is different.
Yeah, and now I was going to ask about Brandon.
Fred Warner, that's going. We don't know. Can Juwan Jennings, can Pearsall, can one of them be the lead dog? You would assume we Pearsall to be that, but can they? We don't know. It's unknown. When all the attention is on you, can you be that? Or will now the lead dog be George Kittle in the passing game?
Hmm.
And so there's Shanahan is smart. If they can't be that, it's going to be Kittle and McCaffrey. And then if it is McCaffrey, are you going to be putting too much on his plate? And so it's a happy medium. You have to balance. To me, that's the wild card is – the receiver room, how is it going to be? Because I don't believe BA will start the season healthy and playing in game week one.
how is that receiver room going to be? Who's going to be the number one option, whether it's Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, or whomever else? And if it isn't in the receiver room, then we know it's going to be George Kittle. How does that work?
TJ, have you talked to Brandon? Is that kind of what you're getting as far as how his rehab is coming?
No. Me and Brandon talked, it was during combine training, real briefly, because I don't know. I've never had that injury. I've never been through that. So I can't give you no advice on, bro, do this, dude. I've never been through that. And so, no, we haven't talked about when you coming back or anything at all. We were just talking, real brief conversation. I was training guys. Quick little FaceTime, and that was it.
How are his mentals through all this when you talk to him?
Oh, I would think he's fine, man. You know, anybody, when you have an injury like that, you've never suffered that type of injury, it's human nature to be down on yourself, and then you got to get right back on the horse because time waits for no man. You're either going to get with it or you're going to get left. And once you get over feeling sorry for yourself, you just do what we know how to do best. That's put your head down and go to work.
TJ, really appreciate you coming on, man. It's a good conversation.
Hey, man, y'all take care, man. Tell Purdy I still like him, man. I just, you know, that's TJ the business man.
We'll let him know. OTA started today, so we'll let him know. Thank you, my man.
All right, fellas.
All right, there he is. That's TJ Houshmandzadeh joining us here on Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. There's a lot to chew on there.
Yep.
There's a lot to chew on there. But I, you know, like, again, to me, and this is maybe a flaw in the way that I think, but if you're willing to pay a guy 47, you're probably willing to pay a guy 53.
Yeah.
And I don't have the insight on how these negotiations went in order to say definitively what TJ said, which is that you could have gone lower. Like, that was kind of the insinuation. The Niners could have gotten him for less. I don't know. I really don't. Like, the way these things go, I looked at 53 and went, dude, nice job. Nice job. Because he could have, there is a way for him to have twisted the 49ers' arms for more. He could have.
Yeah. I mean, there's also a way that they could have gone and played hardball.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's a number of different ways it could have gone. It seemed clear to me that neither side wanted that to be the way that it went, which is why he signed in mid-May. They could have just said, well, no deal, and you can play on the final year of your contract, and then we'll franchise you a couple times, and he could say, well, I'm not showing up then. And they could have, both sides could have done a lot of things that would have been damaging to the team and to the season, and instead, 53. And I just was fascinated by the $47 million average annual part of it. Like, if he signed for 47, would TJ then be thinking, all right, you don't have to win the Super Bowl because you're only making 47.
Yeah.
But at 53, now you got to go out and win the whole thing.
I think that whole, like, you have to do this or you have to do that. I mean, I could argue it both ways. I could argue that it exists no matter what. Even if he was still making $1 million. If people believe that you're good, if they believe that the 49ers are good, and you're good enough to maneuver your way through the season, then they're gonna expect you to win. I mean, two seasons ago, the 49ers were favored going into the Super Bowl. And people were angry when they didn't win it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, oh, it's because he makes $53 million. He made one. He made one. And we walked out of that game, many of us going, dude, you should have won. You should have won that football game. And maybe he wasn't the main person that people were pointing at, but he's on the list. He was not bad in that game. He wasn't great in that game either. You know, McCaffrey fumbled, yep. Shanahan decisions, whatever, overtime, all of that, I think, came before Brock. But people were disappointed. They still are. So, number of things to weigh in on. And you can absolutely do it right now. 888-957-9570. What to you constitutes success off of that deal? Do they have to win the whole thing for you to think that it's going to be worth it? We can take your phone calls on that. Plus, the art of any potential Giannis deal. Somebody called Steiny and Gooey earlier today, and this is what got me going on it. Someone called and said, Giannis is going to call Steph and go, well, wait a minute. Wait, Jimmy won't be there? And Draymond won't be there? And Kuminga won't be there? Why would I come there? And I thought to myself, you just sent over $100 million out the door. You're not going to have to give that up to get Giannis. And so I did a little digging.
Okay. And I'm excited to hear this deal.
Did a little digging. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. This is Weathered and Dips.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.